This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here today with Aaron Gannick. He's CEO of CloudTenna, an AI startup in Sunnyvale, California.
Thank you for having me. CloudTenna brings order to file chaos. We're solving the frustration factors that employees have around file sprawl. When we've talked to customers, they tell us that their employees use 8 to 10 different workflow apps in their daily life. This could be something like Dropbox in the cloud or an on-premises file server. And it's become a major pain for employees to find files when they don't know where they saved it. When employees are wasting time finding files, it kills the team's productivity. It also opens up security vectors where enterprises are exposed to a lot of liability because they don't know where their data is.
One of the things we see at the moment is a lot of companies using the tag AI. Often there's very little artificial and certainly very little intelligence in the solution that they're pushing forwards. Where are we in this space? Is it all smoke and mirrors? Are we starting to see real solutions that get close to what an AI should be?
In the past 2 to 3 years, there's been a technology revolution. We take a look at in-memory processing, the Spark Stack is a good example, that really opens up an entirely new family of use cases that we can start providing customers. That's great, and we've started to see a little bit of that in just in its kind of infancy, the baby form. But we've also seen a widespread ability to use that term for things that are not AI. I think you were going through some examples before. You want to go through some of those?
Yeah, let's take bots as a very good example. We come across this all the time. People have launched a new bot. But when I look at it, quite frankly, it's little more than a glorified macro. Yet to them and to their marketing team, this is artificial intelligence. It's a new bot that's going to do things. How long can we sustain this misuse of the technology?
I think that people mislabel AI from a chatbot, or you hear Siri and Cortana and all of these voice assistants, Alexa, and they think that that's AI. But really, voice activated is just another input method. I could get on my computer and I can type out a question to Google like I have for the last 15 years and do the same thing. Understanding my voice is not AI. Responding to me is not AI. But being able to understand what I have told the system and be able to use context to deliver me what I am looking for, that's where AI starts to come in. I really like your macro example. Because in that case, you have some sort of input that you enter into the chatbot. And that chatbot might be just returning very generic information, things that Google have been able to do for 15 years. That's not AI. But what if it was really going through understanding who you are, what location you are at, do you have a meeting coming up in 10 minutes? And the more and more context that you start throwing at it, the smarter it needs to be. Eventually, you start feeding it so much data, technology 5, 10, 15 years ago wouldn't be able to crunch that much data to be able to respond to you in near real time. That's where I define what AI is, being able to crunch just a massive amount of contextual data to give you an answer very, very quickly.
But is it all just about context? Where does inference come into this? If we think about the human brain, we don't just take in data. We process that data and we make connections, connections that may not seem logically obvious. For AI, if it's going to be able to take a much bigger set of contextual data, it follows necessarily that there are many more inferences it can draw. Where are we in terms of understanding how to control those inferences? Because some will be right, some will be wrong, and some will be just interesting.
A lot of them will be interesting. Totally agree with you there. I'm not sure. We are just scratching the surface on where to use this technology, let alone what we're going to get out of it. The low-hanging fruit were these macros that you're talking about, and they are going to get smarter and smarter. But it really opens up a whole new world of use cases. At CloudTenna, we're using it around file management, and that's the first time you're being able to take all this contextual information to file management. But take a look at other things outside of the enterprise world. Self-driving cars. Self-driving cars need not just say, oh, there's a car 3 feet in front of us, a car 2 feet to the left or right, or a street sign. It needs to be taking into all of these different accounts and trying to predict where each car is going to go, where each person is going to cross the street. Being able to make predictions on the data that you are given to then build the inference off of. You're building multiple degrees of separation from the actual data that you give it. That takes a lot of compute power. There's a lot of data that's going through it. You need a stack that is able to do things really in memory, is a technology term. I'm excited to see what we do in self-driving cars. I'm sure in healthcare, I think you and I were talking about shortly before we started on the podcast, being able to predict in a really smart way, either on an individual level, this is potentially what's wrong with you, you should take this drug, or on a macro level, that these are the strains of other diseases and things that we need to prepare for. We need to be taking advantage of all of these tools that are now available to us.
The data is quite a challenge, isn't it? Because a lot of the data we have is dirty, it's messy, it's not clean. Yet we feed this to an AI, and we kind of hope the AI will somehow magically understand that was a bad decision. That data is irrelevant. That data is the only thing I need to worry about. If we take your self-driving car example, a lot of the data we're going to feed it is fairly routine. It's the quantity that's the challenge here. We know what a car looks like. We know what a bus looks like. We know what a moving object looks like. We can calculate distance, movements. These are mathematical things we know about. There are rules. We know about those. We can feed those in. But when we come to business environments, that's very different. The data isn't as clean. It isn't as clear cut. As we start to move down this world of talking about AI for business, do we need to revisit that data that we're going to use to prep the AI?
You are opening my eyes into a whole other world of AI that I really like here, because I think this goes to the degree of separation. You have a number of data points that will go into making any decision that AI is going to do. In general, the more data points you have, the smarter it can get. Part of it is big data, and you started to see this come about 5 years ago, maybe a little bit more, with Hadoop. These are things that would be great for Walmart to run a report. And Walmart can take a look, how many boxes of Oreos did we sell in the last month? And we can build a model to predict how many boxes of Oreos we should buy for next month. They can do that because they're able to crunch a massive amount of data. And that's great, they can run a report. But when you get to AI, it's not just about being able to understand all of that data that you get, it's being able to make predictions on that data. Does the amount of Oreos that get sold actually impact the amount of milk that gets sold? And how do those two things relate to each other? Well, I love milk with my Oreos, and I could probably write an engine that would manually go and compare those two. AI needs to be comparing Oreos to everything else inside Walmart to see what correlates. And that's way more rules than I as an individual will ever be able to write myself. And AI needs to be smart enough to write those rules themselves. It's going to crunch every different permutation of possibilities to find out what things correlate with each other. And that's where this context that you were talking about comes from. It's about, give me as much data as possible and let me run as many different data models as possible to see how things correlate. And eventually you're going to find anomalies. And those are the times when you look at it and say, this is what's important. You need to buy more of this, and that's going to help you sell more Oreos. Or you see this random street activity with a person crossing a street and you go, this is an accident about to happen. We need to throw the brakes on. Or in an enterprise world, we need to be able to look at, this file is particularly important because this other event happened. And those aren't rules that a human is going to sit and say, we should be looking for this event.
But interestingly, they're also constrained cases. All three of those have a constraint around them. When we look at some of the AI systems being suggested at the moment, we don't see so much constraint. We see people talk about AI in the supply chain. But the supply chain is incredibly complex. It's not just about, can that supplier manufacture goods and provide them to us when we want them? The goods have to get from the manufacturer to us. Now, in between, there are things like weather. So should the AI be looking at the weather? How is that going to impact shipping, be that via sea, cross land, through air? There are other things that may happen on an international level that would not necessarily be generally aware of. But if we're going to have an AI, we find this. But what about raw materials? That's another area that has to come in. When we start to now focus a business case around AI, is it important that businesses understand that they should be looking at constrained examples that they can take the AI on, onboard it through the data, make sure that the data it's using is accurate and the conclusions it is beginning to draw make sense before they open up to games?
So I'm not sure I completely agree with your premise. I think at the end of the day, the service that you are providing needs to be constrained. You see a lot in advertising around the concept of, we have an AI that just solves all of your problems and will help you win the lottery. These are things that offer no real value to the world, that you need to have a very specific use case that you are helping somebody solve. And in manufacturing standpoint, it's reducing yield times or getting the product to you cheaper, whatever you're trying to optimize for. But the ability to answer that very specific narrow question is going to come from an abundance of input data. I don't think it's critical to narrow the amount of data that you give it. In fact, I think that IoT, Internet of Things, is just going to explode the amount of data. You've got 5G coming out, and when 5G comes out, we're going to start tracking a lot more. We're going to live in a data-driven world, and we're going to start using that data to help us make decisions on how long is it going to take to get something from the manufacturing plant to a container to across the ocean to get delivered to a customer. We're going to have to take a look at all of those things, but some of it's going to be determined by AI to be very unimportant. And AI is going to be the one that says, you know what? Weather turns out to be the most important thing. There's going to be a great podcast around just the concept of AI found all of these oddities. Like, we assume it was going to be this, but AI told us that this was the actual thing that was most important. Humans have too much bias, and AI can really help get around that.
But how does AI get us around bias? AI is going to work with our data. Our data contains our bias, be that personal bias, be that the business bias. We know already that researchers are talking as many as 20, 50, 70 types of bias that they see within AI systems. Can we deploy AI commercially before we solve the question of bias?
How much of a problem do you think bias is? I take a look at bias in the market. If you're biased from an enterprise perspective and you're selling a product, that is what you do. I don't think this is necessarily maybe AI for police where you want to make sure you treat everybody the same versus if you're a company and you're trying to provide a self-driving car. You would bias on whether you want to be a more aggressive, faster car or whether you want to be a safer, quieter car. I'm going to choose one or the other, and that's going to be my customer choice rather than something that I think is inherently wrong with the market.
But if we're working off of data, and that data's our company business decisions over time, it will contain good and bad decisions. Within that, we may always have traded these products to that group of companies in that country. To become an unbiased business or to pick up wider opportunities, we might like to hope that the AI will say, do you know, there's a whole new market down there that would buy that product if only we looked at them. Because people often don't. People look at, when they've got a target, what has always worked, what will always work, how do I meet my target? The AI has no target. That's the type of bias I'm thinking about.
Maybe I'm not so proud of it. I was an econ major in school. And econ is all about this concept. It's all about looking at the numbers, understanding opportunity costs, and you pick the opportunity that gives you the biggest net positive return. Turns out people are very irrational, and they don't normally pick the best option in front of them. It actually happens quite frequently. In those statements, Adam Smith's Invisible Hand, the market should work itself out. What is thought here is if you are a company, it's not about the data going in being biased. It's about the narrow use case that you're using the data for being biased. So you have this massive AI system that's collecting a lot of data, and you're doing this analysis, but you're only doing it for one narrow sliver. And you might be asking yourself the wrong question. The companies that ask themselves the right questions are going to be economically better off. If they are a service provider, they're going to provide better products and services to their customers. If they are a consumer of it, they are going to get better answers because they've asked non-biased questions. And with that should come more prosperity.
But how do people learn to ask that question? The reality being that people ask the question that occurs to them. The AI, on the other hand, could that be posing the question? Could that be throwing to the user the data? I have this data. In the past, you've used it for this, this, and this. However, my analysis of the data is that these other cases are viable. Should we look at them? Do you think that's a role that the AI could begin to play?
I think the AI's role is to surface things that you may not otherwise realize. Because it's crunching a massive amount of data, and it's also doing different permutations of that data to understand what's really important. But the purpose that you're trying to get out of it, let me give you an example of somewhere where Cloudtenna is heading. We have a bird's eye view over all file activity that's happening inside an enterprise. We're not a storage company ourselves, but what we do is we look into all of the file repositories that your employees use, and we understand how files are being shared and accessed amongst your employees. One of the things that we are driving towards is being able to understand that from a compliance perspective. That if an employee is downloading 500 times a standard deviation number of files, I can bet you that his name is Edward Snowden, and he's probably stealing your files. It would be a mistake mistake for me to write a compliance product that just looked at if an employee downloads an oddly high number of files, throw an alert. That's the wrong question to ask, because that's not using AI at all. That's just using big data. That was what was available 5 or 10 years ago. But if I wanted to ask the system, do I have any compliance concerns? And then let AI go through and determine, well, what would compliance concerns be? And it can look up all sorts of different articles and everything, and it will learn about personal identifiable information and credit card numbers and social security numbers and all of that junk. And it's going to be able to understand where data is, and it's going to be able to create its own rules. And it's going to be able to come back to you and say, green light, you don't have compliance issues. Or, hey, you better go take a look at this guy, because I don't know what he's doing, but he really failed the audit report here.
How far can you begin to prep that engine? You're selling your product now into companies to understand where their files are and what's going on. It doesn't seem a big leap for you to download those documents from different governments and feed them to the AI, for the AI to have at least a base understanding of compliance in different areas, be that financial with Sarbanes-Oxley or BAAL, be that in privacy with GDPR or the Singapore Data Act or the Australian Data Act. There are a whole bunch of different pieces of legislation worldwide that could be then fed.
We're going to see if they have teeth very soon.
Having fed that to the AI, then presenting the AI to your data would allow it to look at how data was being used, in particular, looking at people's roles and their data access, something which fails very quickly in companies because as people change job, nobody ever revokes their permissions. But if you can see that and the engine has an understanding of compliance, could you not already be jumping that market forward?
I really hope so. That's what gets me up in the morning for sure, that I think that's a really interesting case that you just brought up. In that world, you're taking a look at trying to understand what are people's responsibilities inside an enterprise, and that will drive what files they should have access to and what their normal behavior is. One of the differences between what we have been doing for the past 20 years in enterprise IT and what the AI revolution is going to bring us is we used to set rules. We used to say, this user or this group of users have access to these files. And then we would do some rudimentary check every once in a while where we would run an audit report and say, does so-and-so have access to too many files? And maybe you catch things and maybe you don't. And you do that just periodically. Moving forward, I want AI to do all of that. I want AI to be creating the groups. I want AI to be creating the regulations on who has access to what, the governance functions. I can guarantee you, if you and I edit 3 files a day for the past 6 years, and we are working on the same set of files, like, and again, the files themselves change, but we constantly work on the same set of files. We work on the same team. That there shouldn't be anything that you have access to that I don't, because we're so similar. I don't care what's in your Active Directory group. I know that you and I work together. So therefore, it's not odd if you and I are sharing files. But if you start sharing files with Joe Schmo on the other side of the company, that gets to be a little bit more alarming. And AI can react to that and go, you know what, but every once in a while he goes rogue like that. That's just he's been pulled off onto a different project. Or he's never done this before. This is very odd. This person has roots in China. What's going on here?
We've invested a lot of money in cybersecurity and trying to improve particularly this problem you're describing in terms of user behavior. You've chosen to launch targeting file and data management. It's an old subject. It's a subject that's not particularly sexy in the way of technology. Meanwhile, around you are lots of companies shouting cybersecurity, AI, and on the face of it, appearing to do very well. Why did you not target user behavior analytics or data management in a security context as your focus?
This is like a great recap from the very beginning of the conversation. Because what it is around what do you actually need to use AI to do? For AI to be useful, there's got to be a use case that you're delivering value. Doing user behavior analytics is something we do a lot of, but we use that to influence how you work with files. In your day job, in any employee's day job, they have to create the PowerPoint that they're going to present, or they have to deliver the Excel spreadsheet, and that's where they make their money. That's how companies make money. That's how then they decide to hire more employees, and those employees get to earn a salary and go out to McDonald's and buy Big Macs. This is how the economy works, and it's all driven from the creation of data. Most of that data still is in unstructured data forms, PowerPoints, Excels, etc. Keeping that in mind, we wanted to take a look of how can we use this whole AI revolution, but apply it to where the value is being made. If we did it just around user behavior analytics, which again, we use as a component to add value to file management, if we stopped halfway, what do you care about how your employees are operating? you need to have a use case around it. It needs to be delivered all the way to an end product. That's that narrow target that I spoke about earlier.
This is probably an unfair question. You've only just launched. Where do you see yourself in the next year?
There are no unfair questions. CloudTenna is building up a massive amount of data as we're adding more and more customers to our system. In any AI environment, we get smarter and smarter as we learn more and more about how people are using a system. We aren't sharing data back and forth between different companies, of course. That would be a big security concern. But being able to have more instances to understand how we can compare the models from one company to a model of another company, we're getting smarter and smarter. To be very straightforward and honest with you, I think the AI that we use today is very rudimentary. It's really, we picked a use case, and we're kind of doing macro-like things. That's how you described it at the beginning. It's very straightforward. But we're doing it on massive scale with a lot of data, which has never been done before. That's going to become smarter and smarter the more data we throw it. It creates more permutations. That's more for the system to learn from. That's more value that it's going to be able to add. Right now, we use the AI model to help rank search results. So the file that you need to come back in the top of your search results comes back as a first, second, or third in the list. We don't want you to have to page down a lot to find the file when you type in a file search. We're not smart enough yet to do the audit and governance piece that I spoke about earlier, where it can ask itself the compliance questions. What is compliant, and when is something not being compliant? The only way to get there is to run models over and over and over again. That's about having the data and giving it time to crunch that data. We don't have that data set yet to do it. We're not going to release a generic auditing product that's just like everyone else on the market. I'm not interested in building a macro auditing product. There is real AI that we are built from a technology standpoint using Spark. I want to apply that to all of the products that we have. Right now, we do it rudimentary with search, but it's going to explode in the next year or two as we get into auditing and governance.
Sounds very interesting. I look forward to talking to you about this again in a year's time.
I look forward to talking with you many times between now and then.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.